Now, Ireland is switching to E10 petrol. What does this mean for drivers? Now, if you're a driver, you've probably seen the signs displayed in petrol forecourts that from the 1st of July 2023, that's July next, E10 petrol will be used to fuel vehicles in Ireland. The government is saying E10 petrol contains more bioethanol than the current E5 petrol supply, which is in your car right now. So less fossil carbon is used. The move to E10 is one of several transport measures being implemented to achieve a 51% reduction in transport emissions by 2030, as outlined in the Climate Action Plan 2023. Now, a public awareness campaign has gotten underway over the last while, but concerns have been raised that the switch will result in car owners of older vehicles having to undergo more regular maintenance and that the fuel is deemed not suitable for some vehicles. With me on the line to talk about this, we've got motoring journalist Geraldine Herbert. Geraldine, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Terry.
Is that an accurate description of where we are and some of the concerns here that people might have?
Okay, just two things. Well, first of all, the legal requirement is July the 1st. But what a lot of people don't know, Jerry, is there's a winter blend of fuel and a summer blend. And the winter blend transitions to the summer blend by June the 1st. So actually, it'll be June the 1st when E10 will be available. And it'll be only E10 that's available in service stations. You will not be able to buy E5 after June the 1st. So just to make that clear, because again, there's a lot of confusion about that. Now, in terms of the cars, again, there's a lot of confusion around this. Now, E10 is new to Ireland, but it's not new to Europe, and it's certainly not new to the States or to Brazil. And it's actually been available in the US and the only fuel in the US since 1978. So a very good study that I came across from the US Department of Energy, and they looked back at the history of E10 and, you know, they evaluated it, and they concluded that the fuel chemistry and property difference between E0 and E10, and remember we're at E5 at the moment, is so small that any car made to international standards in the past 50 years would have a high probability of being fully compatible with E10. So there really shouldn't be much to worry about, Jerry, though there's a lot of people who are concerned. But honestly, the data backs up that there is very little to be concerned about.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, you're talking about it's a very small a portion of it. The E here stands for ethanol, is that right? Or bioethanol?
That's right. So at the moment, if you go and fill your car up with petrol, you're getting 95% unleaded and 5% ethanol. From June the 1st, that 5% ethanol will be doubled to 10%. Now, basically, it's a type of alcohol that's produced from plant waste. And as I said, an interesting thing, it was introduced in the UK in September 2021. And at the time, they actually sold E5 and E10. Now, E5 was slightly more expensive when E10 was introduced. But actually, the sales of E10 have simply replicated the previous sales of E5. So people did not revert back and stick with E5. They did go to E10. So if there was any serious issues, that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, certainly was. Geraldine, from the point of view of where we are heading, is this going to be a temporary thing anyway? I know there are concerns, and obviously the electric market is increasing. Concerns expressed by some experts last week that we're nowhere near where we need to be. Too many SUVs that burn diesel and petrol are still being sold. So where do we stand on this? Will this make a difference in terms of our very ambitious targets for fossil fuel reduction?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Jerry. The targets are very ambitious. It will make a difference, there's no doubt about that. I suppose the thing to bear in mind is, remember that Ireland had this idea of banning the sale of new petrol and diesel cars by 2030. That was never going to happen. It was always going to be a Euro-led decision. That date now is 2035. So what the EU are looking at really is that they won't get petrol and diesel cars completely off the road until 2050. So that really is the long-term plan. So I suppose provision has to be made for the fact that petrol and diesel cars are going to be on the road for a very long time.
Yes.
I suppose, to alleviate that.
Yeah. What will it be like in terms of fuel efficiency? Do we have any insight into that? Will it be value for money? Will it burn faster, slower, or how does that work?
Yeah, there is evidence that it's slightly less efficient than E5, but that said, your driving style is probably one of the biggest impacts on your fuel efficiency. So if you put the foot down and you brake very hard and you accelerate very hard, you're probably burning fuel unnecessarily there. So you can certainly counteract any loss of efficiency with just, by changing or modifying your own driving
style. Are you asking drivers to be a bit more patient, Geraldine?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, you know, we should be all doing our best to save money at the moment. And if taking it easy, just slightly, you know, taking it, just driving a bit more smoothly and just anticipating stops and all of those things.
Or realizing your constant drive to get ahead of the next car means nothing, because you'll meet someone up the road that'll slow you down again and you won't win that much time. That's a big problem we have on our roads at the moment.
I know, my mother's famous saying was, we all meet at the lights. And you know something, she's dead right. Because the amount of times you see people flying ahead of you and then you sit there and you're all, you know, stuck at the red light at the same time. So yeah, look, I mean, people should be aware of the fact that the way they drive can actually save them some money.
Yeah. Geraldine, it's a difficult decision now for people. It has been the last couple of years, really, maybe the last 2-3 years. This decision for anyone who's changing their car or upgrading their car has come into focus. Am I going to go hybrid? Am I going to go plug-in? Am I going to go electric? That will increase, but as you're saying, there'll be a few more years yet of second-hand diesel and petrol, if not maybe newer models. Is that the scenario that's playing out?
I think the big issue for people at the moment, Gerry, is that the second-hand market is not there in electric cars. It's getting better, but if you want, most people buy second-hand cars. Let's be honest, most people are not in the position to buy new, and you've much less choice for the greener options in the second-hand market. Because as it stands, I think the figure is probably less than 80,000 electric cars on the road. It's only really in the last 2 to 3 years that we've really seen a big boom in those sales. So it'll be a while before they start to percolate into the second-hand market, and it'll be a while before people on all budgets will have those options. But I think the thing to keep in mind is, if you are in a position where you can buy a nearly new car, don't rule out electric cars. I would certainly say, if you have, you know, the range is getting much better on them, and if you have the facility to put in a home charger, and I think that's a really key point, then definitely consider them.
Yeah, and the other thing you'll need to see visible and plentiful charge points, which we just are not seeing at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. People need to see a reliable network. And even though, you know, the SEAI estimate that about 80% of charging is done at home or in the office, people still need to know that they can make that long journey. They can go and see family. They can go on holidays. They can have an emergency route that they have to go on, and they will be able to charge their car. So, I mean, there is $100 million being put into the infrastructure, but I think they're only numbers to people. They have to fit, you know, they have to actually know that on, you know, somewhere on their route or whatever, that there is a reliable charging point, and that, you know, they need fast chargers on the motorway, and we need to do an awful lot more with the charging network.
It's about consumer confidence, and look, it's a separate story, but we're learning this morning that there's two stories really about public transport. One is that College Green is now going to be closed permanently in Dublin to private cars. They're looking to increase the amount of people on the Lewis and on Dublin bus. But we learned from the National Transport Authority that they're not going to be able to introduce cashless or tap payments on Dublin bus for years to come. So we're in a crazy situation where we're increasing public transport, but we're way behind on so many things in terms of encouraging people to get out of the car and to use it. If you're travelling to Dublin, if you don't have a Leap card, if you're a tourist or you're someone up for Kerry for a match, you'll be scrabbling around for coins to get a bus for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, we desperately need joined up thinking, Gerry. There's no doubt about that. And you can't expect people to leave the car at home if you don't provide them with options. And currently, they don't even have the capacity on public transport, even in the city in Dublin, if everybody did decide to leave their car at home. And there's other things, like, I don't live in Dublin. I live outside of Naas. You know, the local train station doesn't have enough parking facilities for people who do want to leave their car at the train station and take the train. So there's things like that we have to look at. And outside of cities, if cities can't provide public transport for people, what hope is there for rural Ireland? So a lot has to be done, and we have to give people those alternatives and those options.
Yeah, we certainly do. Geraldine, listen, thanks so much for talking to us about it this morning and going through that change that people will be seeing from the 1st of July.
Thanks, Gerry.